Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
We are in for something special.
This is Triple M. It's the weekend. Our favourite time of the week. Every exhilarating moment live. Here on digital radio and on the Triple M app. For Ream Hot Water, this is Triple M Footy.
And what a Sunday this is. It's South Sydney hosting the Melbourne Storm live from Central Coast Stadium. There's a good crowd here already, maybe around 7,000 or 8,000. It should be just about jam-packed by the time we get kickoff in 1 hour. Melbourne, well, they're going to win the minor premiership. They're on 34 points. Important game for the Bunnies. They've been helped along this week by Manly losing, so South will be in the top four no matter what happens today. If they win, they could jump up to third, but if they lose, they're still in the sort of in that race for the top four where they've been pretty much all season. But if they win today, they get a four-point gap on Parramatta and Manly. You got Gerds, you got Gordy Tallis, you got Dan, and you got this man, the greatest ref of all time, Billy Harrigan. Hello to you.
Good afternoon, Dan. Good afternoon, boys.
No doubt you heard our comments earlier about your man, your friend Ashley Klein ruining the first game.
Yes, I did. And I don't want to come in here and have to rip and tear, but wait till we get the judge, Billy. Fair dinkum.
Well, let's do it now. Let's load it up. Ooh. How's your week been, by the way, before we get to that?
Pretty good. Played golf in the roaring winds on Friday and got sunburnt and wind blowing and everything. Friday night, sang with Eric Gray from the Gurus at Cronulla Golf Club. I had all the family there, all the friends. Been a pretty good weekend.
Now, do you get more embarrassed when you... Not embarrassed, sheepish when you sing in front of family, or do you get more emboldened?
No, I was very very nervous.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
I had family, friends, and I'd say it took about 70 people to the club to watch, and I was more nervous doing that than when I just go away with Eric and sing with the band somewhere else.
What about these kids on debut? There was one of the Penrith boys, a great story, Matt Burton and Spencer Leniu and Stephen Crichton. One of them, I think it was Leniu, asked for 300 tickets.
Wow.
300.
That's a big family.
I don't know 300. I've never met...
I couldn't...
You
know,
you...
Oh, here we go. My last ever game in Townsville. Wasn't supposed to be my last, the semi-final when we played the Cowboys.
That's right.
My whole family and friends, 70. But that's 300. That's just taking the piss.
I mean, does he want... He's 19. And they I think, provide him with 120, so that's good. And look, listen, the ground was not full, so great. Fit in as many as you can.
Yeah.
Is that his whole class?
It must
from
be.
Grade
must
1
be
through to grade 12.
There was another couple of guys on debut as well, Dan, weren't they? I wonder how many they asked for. I mean, it was a decent crowd there. Maybe they took up sort of almost half the stadium.
Oh, yeah.
Did you ask for 70 in the corporate facilities?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, nothing but the best for Gordy.
Oh, no, that was just over in the outer. Like, they weren't sitting in the stand. They were just over.
They used to do that at Origin. They'd say, oh, how many tickets do you want? And they'd give you four, but any above that you'd have to pay for. So maybe they made the
guys pay for their two.
How many?
He'd get two and sell two to another player.
Now, that was... that was a final. So did they give you the tickets for free?
No, you I think off memory, yeah. The okay. NRL, maybe. I don't know. I don't want to.
I don't know. It was 15 years ago. Different people ran the show.
Yeah, probably.
Okay, here we go.
I don't think money parted.
All right, let's do this.
All rise for the Honourable Judge Billy.
Honourable.
Well, unfortunately, again, there's been some calls over the weekend. And whether it's by the bunker or by the referees, it's again left me shaking my head and just absolutely thinking, I really don't know what certain aspects of the game are anymore. When I refer to obstructions, sin binning, when a player should or shouldn't be sent off, I have no idea anymore. Let me go through a couple of points very quickly. One, Brisbane versus Titans. Score was 6-6. Jake Clifford took the ball on the outside of a block runner, which was Gavin Cooper. Gavin Cooper stops. McCulloch is coming across sliding. Doesn't really be affected by him. Gets into a position where he's 5 metres away from Jake Clifford running at him head on. Two other Broncos players are beaten by Clifford. Then he comes to McCulloch. McCulloch goes to do a front-on tackle, sidesteps him, pushes him away, goes in and scores the try. And they call it up, no try, obstruction. You got three commentators. Look at the experience between Gus Gould, Joey Johns, and Fatty Vorton, and they were all flabbergasted by it. And Gus Gould summed it up best at the end of it, where he just said, someone has to be obstructed for it to be an obstruction. And I'm sitting there going, why have we lost the plot when you could ask any punter, any player, was that an obstruction? And they'll all turn around and say no, but yet we deem it to be one. We are trying to make it too black and white sometimes. That's point one. Point two, Adam Blair Sinbin in the Warriors Manly game. I've not seen that before. So if I've not seen that before, and what's this round 2021? Fair dinkum. How can we have consistency when it happens nearly every game, and yet in round 21 we decide to Sinbin a
play? What did he do again, Blair, for those that missed it?
He ran a block runner. There was a kick through. They're running for the ball. They're running virtually shoulder to shoulder, and they say that he deviated off his line and they Sinbin him. We've seen it every game just about. It's a penalty. Now, I don't know during the week did they come out and say we're going to hammer this and you're going to Sinbin you or not, or whether he'd been told earlier about a warning, but haven't seen it. Chris Smith, late tackle, Canterbury v Tigers. Again, fair dinkum. Look at it in normal speed. It is not that late. It is not that bad. If anything, you give a penalty, but the Sinbin the bloke on it, the dead set kidding. And then let's wrap it up with the Morris try for Cronulla. No try. They said he was tackled. The only reason they've said he's tackled is because they freeze frame it when he's actually crawling on hands and knees. The arm carrying the ball touches the ground as one of the Cronulla, as one of the opposition players comes down with his hand and touches his leg. So when you freeze frame it as the hand touches the leg and the arm is on the ground, you could say, look at that, arm on the ground with the ball, hand on the leg, that's tackled. But if you look at it in normal speed...
But is that the rules?
It wasn't. He wasn't held at all. The bloke didn't have hold of his leg. He was in motion and was entitled to reach out and slam that ball down. All right, let's say it was a dead set, no try, tackled. It's then got to be a double movement. What do we do when there's a double movement?
It's a penalty.
We blow a penalty. What do they do?
Play the
ball. Go back out there and play the ball, mate. Fair dinkum. I'm flabbergasted with Fatty Vorton. I have no idea anymore. I'm done. Going home. I'm watching the AFL. No, not really.
I was going to say that was...
Not really.
That's an outrageous statement. Then you won't know any rules.
But isn't it getting outrageous? Do you agree with me or not?
Yeah, 100%.
Are you watching really the same game I am? What about this game now? We're not allowed to talk about it. Well, what about this game being refereed now?
No, we can talk about it. We're just not allowed to call it.
Can't call it.
You can talk
about it. That's the number two referee.
Hey, Billy.
We mentioned this, yes.
This is a game that...
In whose eyes?
We want to watch this. Yeah, exactly. In whose eyes? We want to watch this and see it flow. We want to get the game flowing. We want the best referee out there making the best calls, letting the game play.
Who is the best?
Entertainment and everything. Who I still reckon the best is Matty Churchin, followed by Adam G.
I love the badge as a pocket.
But they'll only leave him in the pocket. He is the best pocket.
Yeah, absolutely. So why don't you put them both together for the big games?
There we go. Good Grand start, final. Billy. Good start, Billy boy.
And I was just joking about the AFL.
So Triple M rocking the NRL here.
I was going to put you in a loony bin.
Hey, Billy, so where's it all gone wrong? So, like...
Well, throw in the match review committee too, Goods.
But we hear about... We hear a mandate. I mean, how... So just give us a little bit of an indication of what happens during the season. And you've got, obviously, a referees coach, and then you've got now Graham Annesley's coming in for the head of football that must have some influence over the group. So everything seems to be ticking along nicely. Yeah, so we get to maybe around 15 or 16, and everyone, the refs haven't been the focus of any of the start of the year after the abysmal season that they had last year. And then all of a sudden, there's a couple of things that go down in games, and we change the rule to tighten the laws around, you know, these back rowers coming out and hitting the playmakers and so on. So then the information must come down from the top, filters down, obviously, to the referees, and then they need to go out halfway through a season and start officiating the game differently. How difficult is that on the referees?
It's very difficult. And when it's done, it has been done, and when it is done, it normally comes down. Let's just say Graham Annesley says, righto, guys, I'm not happy with what's happening in the game in relation to late hits on players. Usually then a warning goes out to all the clubs to say, listen, guys, this is what's going to happen. We've seen a couple of late hits. Here's some examples of them. We're going to hammer those. We're right on top of them. There's your warning for the week, but the referees are going to clamp down. Everyone knows. And then usually that will also go out to the press and say, expect the clamp down this week and continuing on and in other weeks, not just for 1 week, but we have realised we need to do something about this. It's going to happen from here on. Then you say to your referees, guys, we've put it out there. This is what's happening. If you don't do it, you'll find yourself in reserve grade next week. So let's all go out there and get stuck into it and do what we've just said we're going to do and improve that part of the game. That's what happens. That's what's supposed to happen. But if you just start, well, this week we're going to Sinbin anyone that runs anybody off the ball and you don't tell anybody, or I don't know. I don't know if that has happened.
Hey, Bill.
I was just flabbergasted.
Bill, when I was playing.
I'm hoping. Graham Annesley. Sorry, one sec, Gordy. Graham Annesley's coming to that job this year. It's a tough gig. He's got to feel his way into it and then start to make some moves. He must be pulling his hair out when he sees what's happening with the match review committee, some of their decisions, some of the decisions of the referees on the field, the bunker. But at the end of the year, he's going to have to review that season and do something about
it. Hey, did you have anything to do when you were running the refs with the match review and not necessarily the judiciary, but the match review? Was that part of your purview?
No, it wasn't. And sometimes when I'd see one of their decisions, again, I'd be shaking my head. But I'd say to the referees, we do our job. They do their. They're independent of us. They do their job. We might not like what they're doing sometimes, but we've just got to go about making sure we get it right. And at the moment, we're not.
Because Kenny's right. Anyone who gets grade two anything has a whole heap of grade ones that no one's going to bother to fight because they're quite delighted to get grade one in the past and they just plead guilty. And then, like Sam Burgess, go to the – well, here's a grade one. Our one looks exactly the same and the judiciary has no choice but to go, oh, well, that's grade one. Well, we can't argue. And they're right.
Well, Dan, I didn't even get to that point with the Burgess one. If you ask anybody out there, if he had been given the 1 week – everyone would have just said, yeah, okay, fair enough. There wouldn't have been any talk about it. It would have been, right, I put that to bed, let's move on. But when they come out and say, he's off, he can play, but we're going to fine him $1,900. Well, one, where did that figure come from? Mm. And two, the local bloke who sees that tackle and knows it's a suspension just looks at it and says, well, what the hell is going on here? This is just ridiculous. And everyone just puts their hands up and says, I don't know anymore. That's me for the day.
Good Judge Billy, Billy boy. Remember first half of the season, Gerds, he was worried because the refs were doing well and we weren't talking about
that's
them.
Right.
And I think he was thinking, geez, am I going to be out of a job? Well, haven't they come to the party for him since about the midway point of the season?
Sorry, Gordy, I interrupted you. Sorry, mate.
Is there, you know, when myself and Gerds were kicking around like dinosaurs years ago, every referee had their style and you'd sort of have to work and – you know, you sort of remember they start, okay, well, they have that. They want a bigger 10. They want this.
They're idiosyncrasies.
They crack down. Yeah. Now they're all trying to referee the same.
And that's because my friend, Tony Archer, over 5 years, made them referee like robots. He took away their personalities. He took away their character, their persona out there, their little idiosyncrasies, and said, this is what we're doing. This is how we're doing it. We're having a marking system. You'll lose points for this, that, and the other. And all of a sudden, they had to go with a dialogue as well when they communicated. You will say this, you will say that. You can hear it with the video referees. Their dialogue is the same. Right to the very end, we have a decision.
But you can't say it wasn't a try.
It's just dangerous ground that they're in at the moment, Billy, because in some instances, and you spoke about that try that was disallowed the other night where it's not about discretion anymore with the obstruction. It's actually about where you receive the ball, more so than where the guy was, whether he was instructed or not in the defence. Like Gus said, you know, someone needs to be obstructed for there to be an obstruction. But that doesn't matter anymore because if you catch the ball behind the lead runner – well, then they're going to take it off you regardless of what happens to the defensive line. Yeah, so they're taking away discretion there, but yet they're trying to use discretion when it comes to things like where back rows are coming out and putting pressure on halves and late shots and that, where now they're just like, oh, well, I think that's worthy of 10 minutes. Yep. So they're using discretion in areas of the game where they feel it's warranted, but in other areas where we can all see it's obvious, they want to make it black and white.
Correct. And the game is full of discretion. This game is not black and white. This game is never the same one game to a next game from 1 week to the next week. There are variables that are thrown in. There is the weather, where the sun is, the crowd, the referee, what players are on the paddock that day. Are the players tip-top ready to go? Are they a little bit down? They didn't get much sleep. There's all these different variables which make it. That's why we see a team flogs a team 1 week, and then they get flogged the following week, and we go, well, where'd the form go? It's because of all the variables that are in there. It's interpretation sometimes. It's discretion. It is never black and white, and we can't make it black and white, and that's why we love the game, Dan.
All right, 18-12, Sydney Roosters over Canberra. That's with five gone in the second half for Tyre Power. Let's bring in our man from ladbrokes.com.au. No city to surf, Roger Aldridge. Hello to you.
No, it's too short. It's only 15K, boys.
Mate, and you don't want to rub shoulders with 80,000 of the great unwashed, for God's sake. And hello to everyone.
Great what?
The great unwashed. Haven't you heard that expression?
No.
That's just, I don't know, the general public. But hello to everyone coming home from the city to surf. One of the great days, the city to surf.
Well, when the Matty John show used to be on Monday, I remember going to the Clove Valley to have a drink. It was like a Lorna Jane parade. They're still there at 8 o'clock at night.
They are, with their numbers on.
Oh, it's embarrassing.
There's got to be
a Sunday night. You know, like when Matty, because I'd stay on a Sunday, so went there to have a beer and, you know, you get off air, so you walk in at 7 o'clock. Mate, it's like I was in the New York Marathon.
There's got to be a cutoff, like when people have to take the number off. You can't have the number on at 9 o'clock at night.
Congratulations.
You've done well.
Yeah, right. You've walked it or whatever.
Let them have their moment.
Well, mate, get home and have a shower and come back in normal clothes.
They've just run 15 kilometres.
Well, how much effort does it take to rip the number off?
No, but, you know, they're loud and proud. Let them enjoy the moment.
You probably like the cyclists.
I've been wearing it around for a week. I love cyclists.
They get a medal. Just see the medal?
Fantastic, especially when they clip-clop into my cafes.
I've just driven in, and I've driven in here just before 3 o'clock, and there's still plenty of them walking around building, downstairs around the mall, and out in the streets, and they've got the medal on and the numbers. And good luck to them, Gers.
I'm with you, Billy. Yeah,
they've run 40k's and up that 1.5k up New South Wed Road or whatever it is.
Yeah, heartbreak kill. They've done brilliantly. Yeah. Just ripped the number off before 9 p.m.
I'm with
now.
That.
Thank
and
you.
The medal, and the medal.
Put a jumper on, change your clothes. You stink. It's like someone walking around after footy training. You don't see like going to karate and walking around in his karate outfit down, you know, Pitt Street or whatever. It's embarrassing.
Roger.
imagine if you did.
I'm enjoying the chat, boys. I'm enjoying the chat.
You're still there.
Unless you get on the podium, then you can't wear your medal out of throttle.
Thank you.
Bunny's hosting the Storm, of course. That's the game we're calling in about 45 minutes. We've had some changes, so where's the money headed?
Yeah, it's still with Melbourne, which is surprising, obviously, with Hughes and Pappenhausen not in the team. So Rabbitohs 275, Melbourne at $1.44, the line 6.5, and they're coming for the Storm at the line as well. So, all the money with Melbourne.
Who do we like for the first try scorer?
Personally, Josh Adokar. He's the worst result for Ladbrokes at the moment. He's at $8. Vinavalo at $8.50. Nico Hines, obviously, coming into the fullback position at $11. Bit of money around for Dane Gagai as well at $10 for South Sydney, and James Roberts at $14.
You can ask the question, but Nico Hines has been called in late in jersey 22, and Billy Walters will be on the bench in jersey 23. So we've gone through the Melbourne players that are out. Kyle Turner will play in the centres for South, replacing Braden Burns. Dean Britt comes into the lineup, and Corey Allen back in first grade. He's on the bench. Those teams from Mungle Boots. Good.
Just on the premiership betting, Roger. I mean, obviously, with these games this afternoon, has there been much movement so far over the weekend, or is everyone waiting for tonight's results?
Yeah, Manly's eased out slightly, obviously, after the loss for the Seagulls. They're at $13 from $9, but that top four of Roosters, Storm, Raiders, Rabbitohs, pretty steady, unless the Raiders get a hold of the Roosters in the second half, which you think is unlikely. It shouldn't fluctuate too much. $3 the Roosters, $3.25 the Storm, $8 for the Rabbitohs and Raiders. And the funny thing about the Storm fullback position, Scotty Drinkwater would have got a game.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And what if Val Holmes comes to North Queensland? It's unbelievable. That poor bugger, Drinkwater. He's thinking, what can I do to get a go? That is thanks to ladbrokes.com.au, all the NRL markets, but please gamble responsibly. Roger Aldridge, thank you, mate.
Thanks, guys.
Triple M rocking the footy. No change in Canberra. It's the Roosters 18, the Raiders 12, 31 to go there. Our game not too far away. Triple M rocking the footy for Ream.
For McDonald's. Triple M footy.
It is windy, Central Coast Stadium, the venue, South Sydney versus Melbourne Storm. Boys, you ever played at this ground, Gerds, Gordy Tallis?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good ground to play?
I have. It was okay. There wasn't a big crowd there. And I remember the night we played there, it was really windy as well. So it was a while ago. But I just had a look down there at the field, the warming up, and Josh Adokar's down there, and he dead set looks like Lloyd Christmas from Dumb and Dumber. He's got, you know, the Jake Turpin. You know, Jake Turpin haircut?
Yeah.
So, because he went from a pretty fashionable sort of locks up kind of look that he had.
Yeah. This was a big look in the 90s, this sort of high fringe but sort of...
Combed down. It's a different look, but...
Like Eminem when he first came out the top of the...
Can't remember who we played at up here.
Who would have thought we'd compare Josh Adokar to Lloyd Christmas?
You never know what you're going to get on a Sunday afternoon, Dan.
Looks like the Roosters are in, so they've extended their lead. Looking at Coates, are we allowed to do Coates Eye replays on games that we're not calling? Well, there's a Coates Eye replay. Daniel Tupou strolling over. So 22-12. Or James Tedesco, the try assist. That's good for Supercoach. Mm. Let's do this.
On Triple M Footy, in case you missed it, let's rewind a little.
good if you've got Tedesco. Brent Reid on which club is now favourite to sign Jesse Ramey, and this was on Saturday, Triple M footy.
Certainly the Dogs, they look as though they're in the box seat at the moment. They've got money to spend. They've met with Jesse. They've told him their case and why he should come to them. And the other clubs look as though they've got a bit of cap difficulty, in particular Tigers. So at the moment, I'd say the Dogs are heavy favourites to land Jesse Ramey. It'd be a great signing for them because they really need a strike centre.
True goods, but yeah. Is he the right... If they're going to splash the cash, is he
well,
the right...
Well, I don't know. Are they going to need to splash the cash? Because my mate, he wasn't on a great deal up there in Newcastle anyway, and they mightn't have to spend that much to get him. But look, Hopper Whitey's obviously been fantastic at right centre. They've bought...
Wartini Kolesniak,
who's doing a fantastic job at fullback, and Holland's on the other side. So I would imagine that, he would potentially play over there on the left, but... quality player. Haven't seen the best of him yet. Just depends what they can get out of him.
Attitude an issue, Gordy?
Oh, it was at Newcastle, but I don't buy into these players not happy, you know, off the field. That's your job to make yourself happy. You're paid to play footy. You've got to go there and do your job. Simple as that. That's where you get judged.
All right. James Hooper on the Chris Smith sin binning, the Bulldogs player last night.
The Smith one, Dan, is the worst sin binning I've seen in the history of rugby league. Like, the game is going mad. We are all going mad.
Kane Evans copped the bad one.
That's what things are going to come to. Yeah, he did, but with the Chris Smith one, there was no way he could have done anything else. He was committed to the tackle.
By the way,
it was a millisecond.
Yeah, and Billy Harrigan staunchly just nodding his head in agreement there. The worst sin bin in the history of the game.
I'm not going to agree with that one, but I'm agreeing that it was just dreadful in that it was only a split second. He couldn't have done anything different. He couldn't pull out. He was already committed to the tackle.
Yeah, because a bloke got sent off one night for saying Stephen Clark was a better referee. So
that was the best sin binning of all time.
Yeah.
See, so there's been some ridiculous ones there. I got sent off at Brookvale for hitting Adam Peters, the front rower sort of played. Adam someone, anyway. Don't remember him.
Name doesn't matter, Gordy.
No. Not that you whacked him.
But I hit him in the shoulder, and they sent me off for a head eye.
Yeah.
I tackled him. I didn't bounce up.
That's because you got a reputation.
I didn't bounce up. It didn't even bounce up. I just hit him in the shoulder. Stephen Clark sent me off, straight off. See you later, son. He said, see you later, son. And it was good because that Brookvale, and I got sent off in the 10 minutes, so I got a warm shower.
Was that the game that you got dusted 61-0?
No, that was when I was at the Dragons. I was playing at the Broncos.
Okay. Well, did you play in the 61-0 game?
No.
Were you there on the sideline chomping on a hot dog when that happened?
I tell you what, I walked in the ground. I was injured in Origin. I dislocated my elbow, so I had to have surgery. So I'm sitting in the crowd. The Manly fans were hammering me, right, when it got to 20-0. The Dragons fans were hammering me when it got to 60. Why aren't you out there? So I got bagged by both set of supporters that day because the Dragons fans thought that I was letting down my teammates, and the Manly fans were just into me because they didn't like
it. Is it true you're on the bench in a Kangaroos game in the UK and you gave one of the ball boys 10 quid or something to go and get you a hot dog and a Coke?
Could have. I was weird sometimes. Well, it was footy. Just wait till you get out there.
Kenty on the NRL Match Review Committee.
But you know what? This is the problem. See, that Jake Trbojevic tackle, which we all agree was underrated, right? Undervalued as far as only a grade one. But it now goes in as a comparable, that's what they call them, comparable, as a grade one tackle. So the next bloke that nearly puts someone through the ground, he goes in and he says, well, it's not as bad as this other grade one here. Yeah. Look at Jake Trbojevic's tackle and the Wood Ducks on the judiciary. They've got no choice. They've got to go, yeah, okay. The whole thing needs a reset. Yes, they've totally lost their
way.
You've got
to wait till the end of the year because that's the rules that we've been playing.
Well, that's it, Billy. They're going to have to.
They've got to stick with it now. Once you've got that precedence like that, can't keep chopping and changing.
Yeah, but if they change it at the end of the year, then they're going to pull up Jake's one next year anyway. That's what they did.
Well, you can
pull
it up.
That's what they did with Sam Burgess's one.
Yeah.
They pulled up ones from last year.
Again, mate, but you clear it all. Say, we're starting fresh.
Yeah. We're starting. That's what I mean.
Clean slate.
Same
here
system,
we
but we're starting fresh.
Yep. And then this
and admit
is it.
You got it wrong.
These are the guidelines.
Admit and say some of the things that we did last year we got wrong. We're resetting. Start again.
James Graham, what a great interview James Graham always is. And again today, he talked about when he was pranked at a Mad Monday celebration.
Yeah, it was going back to like 2006. Sort of the Mad Sunday into Mad Monday, and yeah, I fell asleep, and him and a couple of others, I thought it would be a good idea to dye my hair black. and I've sort of come to in a bit of a daze, and yeah, let's just say I didn't see the funny side to it.
James,
so what happened?
I lost my marbles a little bit and then went a bit nuts, and yeah, that's probably all I'm prepared to say.
I can't imagine James Graham losing his
I wonder
marbles.
If they did the eyebrows as well. And downstairs, or whether they just...
Wouldn't he look weird, James Graham with black hair?
I got in my first year of first grade, we went on a trip away to Western Australia. And the first night there, yeah, I got my eyebrows done. One eyebrow done. I had to walk around on the whole trip away with one eyebrow and end up getting eyeliner.
Texter. Oh, like just, an old woman.
And trying to paint it on. And then every time the first place we get to, someone would lick their finger and smudge it off. Yeah, it wasn't fun. You live and learn.
Gordy, on what the NRL should consider when relocating an NRL club.
Well, it's got to go on.
What's
fans,
the criteria?
It's got to go on filling a stadium. Mate, it's got to go on people wanting to watch you coming through the gate to pay to watch your brand, your style of football.
All right, so there we go. So, but Gordy's caveat was you can only judge them when they're going well. 24.
No,
you did. You said you can't judge the Gold Coast because they haven't been going well for years.
It's like Newcastle. They're a one-team town. It's when they're all congested here, all fighting for the same sponsors, all fighting for the same kids growing up. That's where you move them, where they say an area like Central Coast is starving for rugby league, right? So the people are starving, so why don't you give them a feed and give them a team? When here, they've got so many that they're full of it that they don't want to go and watch.
All right. 22-12 Roosters over the Raiders.
I mean, it's a statement from the Roosters. Still 20 minutes to go, but 22, they're 10 points up at the moment.
And yeah, they've gone up a gear.
They've gone up a gear, and they've got no Takiyaho and Boyd Cordon, arguably their two best forwards. They're playing down in Canberra, and they're just closing this one out. And, serious contenders.
All right, we'll keep an eye on that as we get ready for our game. It's just clouded over at the Central Coast Stadium, but still pretty nice conditions. It's the Bunnies and the Storm. Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M footy for Ream Hot Water.
22-12, it's the Roosters over the Raiders. Tie Power scoreboard update, 16.5 to go there in the capital. 19,000 the crowd. And we'll get around the same here at Central Coast for the Bunnies and the Melbourne Storm. You've got Billy Harrigan, Gordon Tallis, Ryan Girdler. Let's talk about South. How important is this game in terms of making statements and sort of proving that they're still up there with the trendsetters in the competition?
Yeah, it's been an ordinary last month or so, hasn't it? Even though they've been winning games, they've beat sort of the Cowboys, the Dragons, and then that loss last week against the Sharks was a pretty ordinary performance, and especially just defensively, they really struggled. Wade Graham had his way with the right edge of the Bunnies last week, and that's obviously Reynolds over there, and you've also you've got Gagai over there, and you've got Roberts over there, and usually you've got Semi Burgess over there as well. But this week, obviously, Britt's going to come into the side, and you're going to have the Melbourne Storm, who scored 7 tries last week, 5 of them down that left hand corridor.
And Jesse Bromwich
put a couple down, but that's going to be their go-to side tonight, obviously, with Munster and Bromwich down there, and Olam starting to play some really good footy, and Addo Carr. And dangerous edge for the Storm, and the Rabbits defensively tonight need to be, you know, a lot stiffer than they were last week.
So their situation is, Gordy, they still, look, they should finish top four. Yeah. If they lose today, then they're 2 points clear of Manly and Parramatta. So then, you know,
it's not the win or the loss, but you watch Brisbane last week against the top side, you know that they are so far out of the race.
Yeah.
They're so far out of the fight. If South go today and, you know, there's 60 really good minutes and Melbourne pull them apart in the end, well, you go, okay, well, this is where we made the mistakes. It's not about the W, it's how they compete for 80 minutes. Melbourne, last week watching them, they asked more questions of a footy side, and I know it was Brisbane, but they pulled them apart. They pulled them apart like a hot chook.
So, who wants a hot chook? There's a Coles near us too. Mm. We can just go and rip one apart now.
And get the Coleslaw.
Yes. Canberra try. Oh, they're back in business.
It's a great little kick. Hodson went across field, just stopped the play.
Whitehead.
Whitehead got beaten by...
So we thought the Roosters were going to go on with it because they'd been dominant in the second half, but
They've had no luck, the Raiders. Like, you know, they've dropped the ball. You know, like, there's been a couple of kicks that Klockstedt's put down and there's been a few decisions that are going against them, but they're hanging in there.
But what they'll take out of this game is exactly what you just said, what South need to do this afternoon. I mean, now they know they can compete against the best sides and keep, you know, keep themselves alive in the contest for 70 minutes at least.
All right, so kick a goal there. It was interesting comments from Cody Walker today in the paper, and he said that the Origin dropping did affect him. And he said that to the Sunday Telegraph. It's been a great year getting to the highs of Origin, but then getting pushed back down. It's been a hard period. Over the last couple of weeks, I've been getting back to my best. Is he right there? Is he starting to get back to the sort of form that got him to Origin?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And I can really understand emotionally it would have been so hard for him to take that after sort of having a great start to the season and then a big disappointing patch right in the middle and then, you know, starting to find his feet again. So I think all of the South side struggled during that Origin period. So 2 weeks ago, last week, obviously didn't get many opportunities against South Sydney, although against the Sharks, although did a couple of nice little things. But 2 or 3 weeks ago, yeah, you could really see he's got the captaincy again today with Sam out. You could see he's getting back to his best, and he'll need to be at his best today with that battle with Munster.
Is this the sort of performance, Gordy, where if they win, let's say they look good, are we going to say, yeah, but Melbourne didn't have Hughes, they didn't have Brandon Smith, they didn't have Pappenhausen?
Doesn't matter who puts a jersey on for Melbourne. Like, they don't have Billy Slater, they don't have Cooper Cronk, they're still leading the competition. Everybody that wears that jersey, they're so well coached, so well drilled, they know their job. They just slot in. Unbelievable.
All right. What do you reckon, Billy boy?
I agree with all above.
Thank you for your contribution.
He was having a little siesta.
No, I wasn't. I was listening to the Walker app, but mainly you two are the rugby league footy player experts, and you have the chat. And but Cody Walker, I agree. He was playing brilliantly, got selected, went out there, didn't have the greatest game, got dropped, and his form plummeted. And that would affect you mentally. And I think he's coming back now, and I think he's ready to go again. And if he keeps the form going into the semi-finals, maintains that next year, I'd have no hesitation in putting him back in Origin.
Yeah, it's... I've never played in the halves and tried to come with confidence, but as a forward, you just run harder and tackle harder. It's like an effort thing and just start getting 20 carries and working really hard for marker.
That's easy. Like, it's easy to
get your confidence back as a playmaker when you're kicking and you're moving around and your passes are just spot on, they're inch perfect, and your players are confident enough to run onto the balls around you. It's a totally different...
And on this one, Dean, I'd like to see Storm win this game. But if the Rabbits win the game, because tipping contest, mate.
Oh, okay.
I tipped them, so.
I thought you had a love affair with Melbourne all
the time. No, I was a South Sydney supporter growing up, so I'd like to see the South win as well. But if South win this game, to me, that's even better for the competition again. It just throws it up and say, well, you can beat Melbourne Storm. It doesn't matter who's got the jersey on, as Gordy said. And you can beat them.
Good chance, even if they win, that they're going to play Melbourne in the first week of the finals. So that would set it up very nicely. We'll take a quick break. We'll hear from Craig Bellamy on the other side of this. Goal was good by Croker. So it's 22-18. Roosters over the Raiders with 12 minutes to go. Triple M rocking your Sunday match of the day for Maccas.
For McDonald's. Get your boots out! Triple M footy.
About 20 minutes away from the Bunnies and the Storm here at Central Coast Stadium as Triple M rocks your Sunday match of the day for Ream Hot Water. Install the Ream, Australia's number one in hot water. It has clouded over a bit, but pleasant conditions for this big-time clash. Speaking of big-time clashes, it's close in the capital. The Roosters 22-18 over the Raiders with 9 minutes to go there. You got Gordy, you got Gerge, you got Bill Harrigan, Dan Ganane, Brent Reed will join us shortly on the sideline. And right now, courtesy of Channel 9, Brad Fittler with the Melbourne Storm coach, Craig Bellamy.
Craig, there's been a lot of talk lately about a team at the Central Coast. Could you ever see a team up here, do you think?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question, Fred. I'm not quite sure. You know, obviously there's a lot of teams in Sydney, but you'd probably like to see one of them relocate. But, you know, that's a fairly passionate thing for fans, you know, moving their base. So I think it'd really work here, to be quite honest. I think it's a really good area. It's a good area for rugby league in that we've got a stadium here. But, you know, it's rugby league tragics here, you know, and we found out we've been here for a couple of days that they just love their rugby league up here. So it would be a good fit, but how you would do it, I'm not quite sure.
There's been a nasty weather around. What does that do to your tactics today?
Yeah, just with the wind, obviously, probably more than anything else, I think it's going to be wet. But, we'll see what happens at the toss and then go from there.
All right. Good luck.
Thanks, Freddie. Appreciate it.
There we go. That threw Bellamy for six, didn't it? That first question. He's probably thinking, how's the team shaping up? What do you think of South?
Yeah.
Should there be a team on the Central Coast?
Yep.
See, and he agrees with me. Relocation, but I know they're going to be passionate.
Well, what's he going to say, Gordy? No, no.
He didn't even know that.
We shouldn't even be here for this game. We should. Well, of course he's going to say, oh, yeah, no, they, you know, there should be a team here.
He could say no. I don't think so.
He was, come on, he was being nice.
But didn't they talk about that many, many years ago with Norths? But the Central Coast people want their own team. Not
I think
team
they'll
relocating.
Take, Billy, honestly, I think they'd take anything they could get, wouldn't they?
Yeah. It's like going to a barbecue and you run out of beer. You'll take whatever you can.
Good analogy.
What's the beer, Gordy, where you go in and that's all they got? Oh, God.
I don't like fruity beers.
Oh,
in my head, and I don't
I'm
like
with
some,
you, Gordy.
Some
thank
yuppie
you.
That makes... Yep. Coffee, then comes and tries to make beer. You stick to yours and let real men drink beer.
You can get a little bit disappointed when you're going to a party and you're sort of ramped up to have a few cans and all of a sudden there's only light. That can be disappointing.
Or, now, you know, all those craft beers, like, and it's so cool and people bring their six-pack. It's like, mate, go away. I'm taking a 30-pack there and you can have some of these and it's a mid-strength because Queensland are into mid-strength beer, so just grab a carton of 4X Gold and get there and crack a few off.
Is it gold or light? Is that a mid beer?
It's mid. It's one standard drink. So when they say mid, it's not mid. It's one standard drink.
Okay. And what's a normal beer?
Like 1.4 or something.
Okay.
So I like drinking one standard drink. So if you have six beers, you know you've had six beers. You haven't had whatever.
Okay. Gordy.
But you never have six.
No, but at least I know how many that I've
You didn't had. Have six on Forex Island. I can give you the tip. Now, I've never seen anything like it, Bill. It was a sight to behold. Now, here's a question. You go to a barbie, you take a six-pack. I think you'd take a case, by the way, Gordy, because I think you're that sort
of... Yeah, well, I do.
You do, but okay. You take a six-pack. Are you only drinking yours?
Yeah, I only drink mine.
That's the etiquette?
Yeah.
And what if you see someone taking one of yours?
No, knock yourself out. Have one.
Okay.
But I want him to open up some red.
All right.
Oh, I love the red
wine. Wayne Bennett.
It's like giving strawberries to pigs, but geez, I like it.
Wayne Bennett caught up with Brad Fittler a few moments ago on Channel 9.
Wayne looked disappointed in last week's game. Did your footy team see a different side of Wayne Bennett this week?
Oh, not sure about that. We were pretty disappointing. So I had to get going as quick as I could because we had obviously got a big game here today and going on, carrying on about it for too long wasn't going to help us, so just trying to make sure we're focused here today.
Well, Sam Burgess got away at the judiciary during the week. Were you surprised at the result of the judiciary?
No, I wasn't.
Not at all?
No, well, look, he accepted the fact that of the charge, but the grading of it was the part that we didn't accept and he didn't accept, and we went to the judiciary and got it downgraded.
What about the Storm? What do you know you're going to get from the Storm today?
Consistency. I mean, they've been the best team in the comp all year, and probably for the last decade, they've been most consistent of any team. So, we all know what they're going to do before we even start the game, but it's a matter of stopping it.
All right, good luck.
Okay, thanks.
Good questions there from Freddie. I love the surprise. What, you didn't think he was going to get off? You thought he was going to get off? Yeah. You really? Yeah. No, good stuff from Freddie there. Wayne Bennett, thanks to Channel 9, those interviews for celebrations. Why Melbourne so much better than the rest at the moment? Why are they three games clear?
Because they've got the best coach, bar none. Simple as that.
I think also Cameron Smith, you know, it really helps in the fact that he wasn't involved in Origin. And they've got a roster that they've lost some key players over the last few years, but they've been pretty settled in some of those key positions when you look at their forwards. And Cameron Munster's obviously developed into a fantastic player over the last couple of years, and they've been able to fill the holes of Slater, and I'm not sure they've filled Cooper Cronk's position yet. I'm not sure about Crofter's half. It was interesting last week in their win against the Broncos.
He got pulled off with about 24.
He got taken off.
They're up 26-0, and they pulled their halfback.
Yeah. And so that means they're trying to experiment with Hughes in there and Pappenhausen. I think he's trying to force his way into the lineup. But
doesn't it feel like a matter of time before Hughes is halfback and Pappenhausen's the fullback?
Well, I think Pappenhausen's been a bit of a surprise, hasn't he? And I thought Drinkwater was the one everyone was talking about, you know, to possibly put pressure to move Hughes up into the halves. But Pappenhausen's basically come from nowhere, and it seems like he's one of those guys that just needed a chance. And there's some guys that just come through the system and you don't think a lot of them, and then when they get into first grade, they revel in it. And he just seems like that guy for me.
Now, Gus Gould came out a couple of weeks ago. He said Melbourne Storm, they haven't got – they're playing their best. There's no more gears for them. Everyone goes up gears in the finals. They have no gears to go up.
Cameron's got gears, and I asked that question on Triple M Brisbane last week. I said, Cameron, can this side go all the way? And he said, I don't know. And he did have a bit of doubt, but he was talking about the young guys. If those young guys keep on improving over the next month, if those young guys get some confidence over the next month, I have no doubt.
They're going to come up against a lot better sides than the Brisbane Broncos, but that gear that they hit last week was pretty good after they lost by one
Absolutely.
Point the week before.
We're judging them harshly, aren't we? I mean, they've lost three games all year, total of 4 points, and two of them are in Golden Point. They've lost one game in regulation, and that was by two to the Sharks. So what's happening here in Canberra? It's still 22-18. The Roosters are hanging on. Canberra have had a few chances, haven't they, in the last couple of minutes? But the Roosters coming up with some big plays just when they need them. 2 minutes 50 to go there in the capital. So Roosters ball with a lead there. So in saying all that goods, do you think South will get the job done today?
No, I don't. No. I think the Melbourne Storm, I know there's been some late changes for both clubs, but I think the Melbourne Storm after last week's performance, and I've still got some doubts over South Sydney. Not the fact that they can compete at the back end of the season, but that they can turn their form around as quickly as they have. And everyone's going to say, yeah, but they've won five of the last six or whatever it may be. They haven't played a lot of great sides during that run. And that loss last week against the Sharks left a fair bit to be desired. So I think up here against a Melbourne Storm coming off a great victory, I think Melbourne will do it today, and I think they'll do it comfortably, Dan.
Okay, there you go. So big prediction there from Gerds. We'll get your tip on the other side of this, Gordy. Don't forget, Triple M is the home of Thursday night football, and we'll be there at Brookvale for Manly versus West Tigers. Manly trying to continue their march up into the top four. West Tigers, well, they have to win. Friday, our game, Gold Coast versus the Eels. The Eels, still an outside chance of finishing in the top four. And then we've got Newcastle, North Queensland, Saturday afternoon. And Sunday, we're at Shark Park for the Cronulla Sharks versus the Dragons, the local derby. So that is what's coming up next week. But after this, it's South versus Melbourne. It's the Sunday match of the day as Triple M rocks the footy.
For Ream Hot Water, Triple M Footy. Starting tomorrow, every phone call Triple M makes is worth $500 cash, and it can happen anytime.
You've got the moon man in the morning.
Register yourself at triplem.com.au now, then listen to 104.9 Sydney's Triple M.
Every story of business begins with someone saying, I will do this. Like the farmer who rebuilds after the natural disaster, the mother of three up late, growing her business overseas, or the man who takes a leap to become a business success. They're the ones who've pushed us to become Australia's biggest business bank. When you're ready to move your business forward, search NAB Business Progress. NAB, more than money.
If I'm not firing nails, I'm not making money. I've got no time for downtime. But with my Pazload Cordless Impulse Nail Gun, I power through the day. Pazload, reliability, comfort, performance.
Getting the winter chills this year? For the very best in hot water, install a Rheem. With over 80 years of manufacturing in Australia, Rheem has been building Aussie tough water heaters for Aussie families and Aussie conditions. They got the latest winner of the Canstar Blue Most Satisfied Customer Award for hot water, and they have a comprehensive selection of storage, continuous flow, and solar options as well. So that's why everybody's doing it, and they have been for 80 years. So if you need it, if it's time to install a Rheem, do it now. Ask your plumber and get the best there is.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Rheem. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Rheem.